A sniper looks at a figure seen through a rifle scope off in the far distance. Pull the trigger. Death.
I am the Reaper.
Actor Ben Foster in the film Lone Survivor, the sniper is the Grim Reaper in war. With an invisible perch, a wide view of the battlefield, and his or her choice of targets, a sniper can end life one bullet at a time. It's a combination of precision and brutality, a pair of fighters, a shooter, and a spotter. What is this job? How does a sniper think about it? And does the sniper have any feeling for those whose lives they end? Jack Coughlin is a retired gunner sergeant with the United States Marine Corps. He's the author most recently of Shock Factor, American Snipers in the War on Terror. And Jason Delgado is a Marine Corps sniper who served in Iraq. Being a sniper, he says, is no relaxed video game played out in the woods.
We're talking about one of the most physically grueling jobs in the United States Marine Corps, along with a lot of other special operation traits. Being an individual operator is what we call it. You're required to lug massive amounts of weight because you're self-sufficient. So that's your ammo, your communications, your backup batteries, your food, your water, along with that of whoever else is with you for either long-range patrols or long durations of times, up to 3 days, you know, sometimes even longer, depending on the situation. It takes a tough-minded, stern individual to go through something like that, and not a lot of people have what it takes to do that.
You learned about what a sniper can do at an early age, Jason, or at least what a gunshot can do from a far distance. What happened?
My first taste of it was when I was probably about 5 years old, sitting on the hood of someone's car with a couple of my cousins across the street. We witnessed my uncle basically get shot and by a junkie right in front of us. You know, it's just something that, you know, no kid, I have children myself now. I wouldn't want to wish that on anyone, but I was exposed to that real early. And, you know, I also saw the power of what a weapon could do. Basically, just turn lives upside down, you know, and just destroy any situation.
It's an upsetting story, even as you describe it now. And a lot of people might take that emotion that they're hearing coming out of your voice and assume, oh, this guy became a sniper out of revenge. That's his deal, right?
Yeah, no, it was no revenge, really. It's actually, you know, I was always into more of the patriotism. Right. It wasn't about the weapons. It was about being an American.
Good, you know? Versus evil. You know, Jason, and I know this because I trained Jason, wanted to be a sniper because he wanted to be at the best to help people. Snipers don't hurt people. We hurt bad people.
Mm-hmm.
So our job on the battlefield is to be the guardian angel for those infantrymen below us. Because we can see, reach, and feel deeper than they can.
How can a sniper actually turn around an entire unit that might be headed towards a base of an encampment of soldiers? What is it that a sniper can do to turn around?
He strips their will to fight.
How?
Shock factor.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 30 guys coming on a position. One goes down, the other goes down. Everybody's looking around. Where did that happen? I didn't even hear a gunshot. Another goes down. Now you're starting to trust what? Your guy next to you? He's like, oh, I don't want any part of this. Hit another one down. After about the sixth or seventh guy that goes down, you got more going back than forward.
Yeah, we stop. We stop hundreds of people, you know, with one bullet.
If you're on the wrong end of a sniper attack, you freeze. You don't know where it's coming from. You're helpless. All right? A lot of the people that get hit, sometimes they're hit because they want it to end. That guy that's got cover, he's hiding behind something. He's not taking fire, but people bullets are going around him, and he runs aimlessly to get away. He just wants the terror to end, the shock factor of him being pinned down and not knowing what's coming next. That's more of that avenue.
What's it like to see people in such a state of helplessness and terror so often in your job, Sergeant?
Well, what you do is you close it out. I mean, it's going to sound cold, but they're not human at the time. They're good or bad, meaning they are a threat to somebody or they're not. If they're a threat, I eliminate the threat. It's not a Hollywood where we're joking around, laughing. Look at that little guy, you know, look at him do that. No, you're dead behind that mission, right? You're dead behind that scope. You're looking into the life of somebody else, and you're deciding whether he lives or dies. Once you make that thought process clear in your brain, you adhere to that. And then later on, when everything's said and done for me, then you go ahead and replay it in your mind when you're in a safe place, when you can, you know, break it down.
Do you believe it's possible that you can make a mistake, or do you eliminate that possibility that you can make a mistake and kill a civilian or someone who's a noncombatant?
Anything's possible. The only scenario I would be able to give you where I think it is possible is the rules of engagement in a certain area is if they have a weapon, you can shoot them. But it was just some person who was coming out of his house and they had a weapon protect his house. Which is why we don't have those rules of engagements except for an extreme incidents. So yeah. Somebody once asked me, how do you live with yourself for all the people that you've killed? And I said, I live okay with it because I know everyone I've killed deserved to be killed because they were on the wrong side of what we were fighting for. I could see that through my scope. I wasn't spraying and praying. That bullet was sent specifically for that target. So I didn't shoot a little girl by accident. I didn't shoot an old lady by accident. I knew that that enemy combatant was an enemy combatant, and I shot.
You also got to take into everything in consideration that you learned that day or for that mission or for that target. You know, all that is – you're sort of biased. All that's running through your mind. You know, whatever might happen after the fact, the truth is that's your job. That's your mission.
And if we see on the ground, if they don't – those facts don't – make right what we were told they were going to be, we don't pull the trigger.
You don't pull the trigger. You know, a lot of people are fascinated by snipers. I mean, there's a certain thing about the precision of the weapon, the ability to, you know, fire with that kind of accuracy at such a long distance, the optics of the scope, that sort of thing. You know, whether you're talking about hunting or whether you're talking about in a military context. But there are people who are going to be listening to this show. Mm-hmm. Who view basically your job as a really great view of somebody's head being exploded at time after time after time after time. And it's not a matter of how do you live with yourself. It's just, whoa, What kind of a job is that? What do you say to that?
It is personal. It definitely is personal when you're looking at the carnage that, you know, you might – be creating. It's very personal, but you just got to understand that, you know, it's either them or you, or even worse, because, you know, I'll take those odds above my buddies any day. And, you know, it could very well be four or five of your buddies vice them. And I'm sorry. I'll watch that image all day long. If I know four or five of my guys are getting home, you know, so it's not something you want to say you like doing.
You know, you do feel some remorse for the Iraqi soldier or whoever. You might feel a little bit less for a terrorist.
Sergeants Jack and Jason Coughlin and Delgado, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having us.
Jack Coughlin is a retired gunner sergeant with the United States Marine Corps, the author most recently of Shock Factor, American Snipers in the War on Terror. Jason Delgado is a Marine Corps sniper who served in Iraq, was trained by Coughlin. If you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the program, you can check us out at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.